Thank you, Heart of Worship, for leading us. Ushers, thank you for serving us today. Well, take your Bibles and turn with me to Acts chapter 9. We're going to pick right back up where we were last week. Again, if you came in late, if you're a guest or maybe not a regular attender here, we're glad you're here. Glad everybody's here. We're glad that you've chosen to be with us today as we open up God's Word together. The title of today's message is Go and Tell, and then I put behind that why we prepare. We're going to be talking about preparing to take the gospel. We're going to be talking about preparing to walk with Christ. How do we do that on a daily basis? Last week we saw certainly a monumental event in the life of the early church, in that we saw Saul, who would become the Apostle Paul. We studied his conversion. He was on his way to Damascus to bring havoc upon the church. He said he was going there to arrest men and women and bring them back to Jerusalem, bound in chains, to stand trial before the religious leaders. Why? Because they had embraced Jesus as the Messiah. And he is saved. He is blinded, eventually regains his sight, is baptized, and immediately begins to preach. Now, as we pick back up in verse 20 and we go to verse 31, I'm going to do something today that's going to, I hope at first, shock you, but then I'm going to explain it. I'm going to preach to you today a message that is not in the text. Now, I really hope right now you're going, Pastor, your next words are very important, because I may get up and walk out. Because what do I teach you? What do I teach my students? You teach the text. Now, here's a time where we have to be careful, because if you were to read this text, you would think it was just a matter of days or a matter of weeks at the most that Saul is blinded, that he's saved, that he's baptized, and that he immediately goes to Jerusalem to tell Peter, to tell the other apostles, hey, I'm a changed man, put me to work. I'm ready to go serve. And with the tenacity I had against you, now I have it for you, and I'm ready to go. But when we turn to Galatians, we realize that our timing may be off. And that's why I'm going to read our text today, but also bring in Galatians, where it says that he went to Arabia for 3 years, right in the middle of our text. He goes away for 3 years. You may say, well, why? Why did he have to go away for 3 years? Well, God was preparing him. God was preparing him. He had called him. He said, you're going to be, we read it last week, you're going to take my word, you're going to take my gospel to the Gentiles. You're going to take it, and we even see it today, to the Jewish people. You're going to take it before the kings. You're going to be used by me. And we need to understand, Saul being a Pharisee, he understood much of the Old Testament. He understood, and I believe he had a great grip on how Jesus fulfilled the messianic prophecies that are in the Old Testament. But God's going to use Saul, or later Paul, to write really the first systematic theology to the church. We call it the Book of Romans. He's going to use Paul to plant churches. He's going to use Paul to raise up young believers or other believers to lead the church after he leaves this earth. And Saul had not been with Christ those 3 years, and there were things that God had to teach him concerning the Messiah, concerning the gospel, concerning his desire for the world. Well, just as Saul needed preparation, I bring this message because I want us to really think about, how does God prepare us? How are we prepared? You know, I talk a lot about having a daily quiet time with the Lord, where you just by yourself, somewhere quiet, For me, it works best if it's early in the morning and you just open up God's Word. It could be other things you use, but certainly we're primarily in Scripture. We spend time in prayer, and we hear the Word of God. We pray. We seek God's wisdom. Why do we need that? What's the purpose of it? What's the purpose when we gather corporately and we open up God's Word together? Well, I hope it's not just academic. I hope you're not saying, well, I want to learn more so I'll know more. It's kind of like the Athenians. Remember, Paul would say, well, I can tell you, you know a lot of stuff about a lot of stuff. But I've come to proclaim to you the one you really don't know. See, we gather together corporately. We get alone with God, not so that we'll be smarter. Because God is preparing us. We do it because God is preparing us to be His ambassadors here on this earth. God is calling us to take the gospel. God is calling us to put Him first and foremost in our life. God's calling us to endure afflictions for the sake of the gospel. And all of these things Paul had to learn, and God was going to teach him. We need to learn them. We need to live this out. And we need to see ourselves as preparing daily to be God's ambassadors here on this earth. I'm going to begin in verse 20 of Acts chapter 9. Immediately he, and that would be Saul, immediately he preached the Christ in the synagogues that he is the Son of God. Then all who heard were amazed and said, is this not he who destroyed those who called on the name of Jerusalem and has come here for that purpose so that he might bring them bound to the chief priest? But Saul increased all the more in strength and confounded the Jews who dwelt in Damascus, proving that he is Jesus the Christ. Now after many days were passed, the Jews plotted to kill him. But their plot became known to Saul, and they watched the gates day and night to kill him. Then his disciples took him by night and led him down through the wall in a large basket. Now, hold your place right there. You don't have to turn there. I'm going to take us to Galatians chapter 1 and see what happens during this pause. Paul would write this to the churches in Galatia. Nor did I go up to Jerusalem to those who were apostles before me, but I went to Arabia and returned again to Damascus. Now, what's in Arabia? Okay, you probably think, well, there was a Lawrence. He lived in Arabia. But what else was in Arabia? Well, Arabia is a vast territory during these days, but it's interesting, Arabia is where Mount Sinai is. We certainly know how God used Mount Sinai in Moses' life, in Elijah's life. Now, we're not told that's where God took Saul to teach him, but that is one area of Arabia. Now, verse 18, again in Galatians 1, then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and remained with him for 15 days. So we've had this break, and then we come to verse 26. And when Saul had come to Jerusalem, he tried to join the disciples, but they were afraid of him and did not believe that he was a disciple. But Barnabas, means son of encouragement, but Barnabas took him and brought him before the apostles, and he declared to them how he had seen the Lord on the road, and how he had spoken to him, and how he preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. So he was with them in Jerusalem, coming out and going in. And he spoke boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus and disputed against the Hellenists. They were the Greek-speaking Jews, but they attempted to kill him. And when the brethren found out, they brought him down to Caesarea and sent him out to Tarsus. Today, we're going to see how God prepared Saul to do all that he was going to call him to do, and how God, in a very similar way, whether it be individually or corporately, God is preparing us because he has given us a task in our lives to carry out as we follow him. What are some ways, I just began to make notes this week, how are the ways, even in the text today, that we see God was preparing Saul to be his ambassador? I think we'll see in many of the same ways God has to prepare us. First of all, we see a preparing to reach the lost. We see a preparing that happened in Saul's life, that he was being prepared to take the gospel out into the world. Now, we saw immediately in verse 20, after he receives his sight and he's baptized, he begins to proclaim. There are many things he didn't know, many things he had not experienced with Jesus, but he immediately begins to proclaim that Jesus is the Messiah. He had a passion that started early that really never died. Paul would need to learn more because he had not been with Jesus, and Paul devotes himself and lets the Lord teach him in this time away. Again, we're really not told anything about those 3 years, but we know that when Paul left to go on that 3-year sabbatical or that 3-year journey that he left, he had a passion for Christ, and it was even deeper when he returns. Now, what I want us to focus on here is last week, and you can go back and read the first 19 verses, Ananias questions whether God, can you really use Saul with all that he's done? And God tells Ananias, he is my chosen vessel, and he's going to take the gospel out, and it says he's going to take it again to the Jewish people and to the Gentiles. Now, what I want us to understand is that each of us, if you know Christ, you too are a chosen vessel. You see, the Great Commission wasn't given to the top 10%. The Great Commission was given to all of the church. So just as Jesus would say, Ananias, he's my chosen vessel. Now, there was an apostolic nature to this. But when it comes to reaching the world for Christ, it's the same task and the same calling that he has placed on all of our lives. And that's scary. I'm sure it was scary for Paul or for Saul at the time. And God takes him away, God pours into him, and God prepares him to carry out the task that God has called him to do. It's scary for us. It's scary for me. When I think about opportunities that I'm confronted with in which I can share the gospel with someone, you may think, well, you get up and preach every Sunday. Can I tell you, this doesn't scare me. I want to be in awe as I handle God's word. But when I have an opportunity to share with a neighbor or share with someone, you know, in the public, that to me, it doesn't come natural. It's something that I pray for courage often. But do you think that catches God by surprise? Do you think it catches God by surprise that you get nervous when you have the opportunity to have a gospel conversation with someone? No, it doesn't. I think that's why that beautiful passage in which Jesus is given the Great Commission to the church, he gives you also that promise. I'm going to be with you. I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. I'm going to go before you. When you go out, when you do ministry, when you have chances to go on a mission trip, God has promised, I'm going to be with you and I will help you do what I've called you to do. So how does God prepare us when we're alone with him or when we gather corporately? How does he prepare us to go out and reach the lost? I wrote down 4 things. First of all, I said, it reminds me that the lost is there. See, you can't read his word, and I pray that we can't gather corporately that we don't understand there's a lost world out there that needs Jesus. If you can come and go in a church Sunday after Sunday and Sunday after Sunday and never hear there's a world out there that needs Jesus, I just encourage you, let's find a different church. Because the last thing that God tells his followers, Jesus tells his followers, is you go make disciples, because there are those who have never heard. When I'm in the Word of God, I'm just reminded there are people who need Jesus. When I'm in the Word of God, I'm reminded of my call. I'm reminded just as Paul had a call, and I'm not talking about here the call to pastoral ministry. I'm reminded of the call that Jesus has placed on all of our lives to take the gospel out. When I'm in the Word, when I'm in prayer, when I study to preach, or when I gather corporately, I am being equipped to go. I am learning things, just as Paul had to learn. Again, he wrote a systematic theology for the church. He planted churches. There were things he had to learn. There's things that we can learn. And we do grow in knowledge and strength to be able to do what God's calls us to do. But here's another thing. When I gather corporately with you, when I'm alone in the Word of God, I get excited to go. See, it's not just knowledge that will push us out to tell others, but there's an excitement in our lives that we can go out and tell others about what Christ has done. I pray that we get that when we gather corporately, because just as Paul had to be prepared to do the task God's called him to do, every one of us have to be prepared. And that's why I encourage you to be in the Word of God. Why I encourage you not to neglect gathering corporately with a body of believers to be encouraged to do what God has called us to do. He was being prepared to reach the lost. Secondly, Saul was being prepared to live a Christ-centered life. 11 in verses 26 through 30, and even if you go back up to verse 22, it says, "But Saul increased all the more in strength and confounded the Jews who dwelt in Jerusalem." When you drop down to verse 26, we see him living now among the disciples, and they were afraid of him. Have you ever thought how rough must Saul have been when you go away for 3 years and you come back? This seems like they were just as afraid of him 3 years later as when he comes back. They didn't really want any part of him, but Barnabas comes in and stands with Paul and talks about his conversion, what God had done in his life. So Saul is increasing in knowledge. I think his passion for Christ is increasing. But he's having to be recalibrated when it comes to how do I live out my faith. See, Paul was coming from being a Pharisee, and much of what he was taught was a works-based salvation. I think that's why he wanted to have such a zeal for God, because he felt like he was kind of working his way to a right relationship with God. And now what he's having to learn is it's not about religion. He was a deeply religious man, as we said last week. What Paul is having to learn is that now, how do I live a Christ-centered life? It's because of the relationship that I have with Jesus Christ. It's not just about what I do. It's more about what he has done and what he has done for me and what he has called me to do. And he has to learn that. God has to teach him that it's about a relationship, not about religion. Now, it's difficult for us, and we're talking about this second, is he was preparing, having to be prepared to live a Christ-centered life. We have to be prepared. That's why for me, again, it's so important, and I do it early in the morning, because I need it. I need it more than you do. I need to be in the Word of God early, because as I then live out my day and I'm confronted with things, I'm confronted with choices, I'm confronted with problems, if I have had that time in the Word of God, it's amazing how I will remember verses, I will have a desire to walk with Christ more than I just have a desire to respond. See, living the Christ-centered life is described this way in Matthew. It means denying ourselves. And because of our fallen natures, it is very hard for us to deny ourselves. That's just not natural for us. But it says we deny ourselves, take up our cross, and follow Him. And for me to live that out daily, I need to be in this Word. Because there are just things within me I don't want to deny self. I want to glorify self. I want to just put my needs first and not the needs of others. But when I'm in the Word of God, I'm reminded about how Christ desires for me to live. You know, Lori and I have been married long enough. I shared this, I don't know, maybe a year or so ago. It's just how I'm responding to her, how I'm responding to my children, how I'm responding to you as my church family, how I'm responding to situations. She can look at my life and see my responses. And here's the question she will sometimes ask me, honey, did you have your quiet time today? See, we've lived together long enough that we're married. We're married. Okay, we've been together long enough. She can tell when I am putting Christ first in my life or when I'm putting Marty first in my life. Now, when I haven't had my quiet time, I absolutely hate that question. Why? Because there's that conviction there. Because I know I need to be in the Word of God. I love it. King David, he wrote it this way. He said, I hide the Word of God in my heart that I might not sin against God. So that's what we're trying to do. Whether we gather corporately and we're studying the Word of God, whether we get up in the morning or you do it at night or at lunchtime, whenever it is, and you take your Bible, you take your devotional, and you get in. Why? Because we're desiring to hide the Word of God, to put the Word of God there. So when we have those choices, we will seek to glorify God and not to simply go the way of our heart's desires. If we're serious about living a Christ-centered life, and I don't dare to think everybody who gathers, that's your priority, is to put Christ first. I wish that it was. I pray that it is. Because if it is, if it truly is our desire, then we will see, because of that fallen nature, we can't do it on our own. And we need to be on our knees. We need to be in His Word. We need the encouragement of one another as we live out our faith. Saul was being prepared to reach the lost, being prepared to live a Christ-centered life. And then thirdly, Saul was being prepared to endure persecution. He was being prepared to endure persecution very early here in his ministry. And we've read twice in verses 23 to 25 as we were reading about his ministry as he gathered there in Damascus and he began to teach. It said there were Jewish people in Damascus. They tried to kill him. Matter of fact, his friends had to smuggle him out of the city because he was going to be killed. Then later in verse 29, we read where he's confronting the Greek-speaking Jews, and he's taking the gospel with them, and then it says they desire to kill him. Isn't it interesting, in just a very short time, the hunter has now become the hunted. Can you imagine the thoughts if you would have told Saul, you're going to go to Damascus and try to hunt down Christians and bring them back, but in the end, you're going to be the one hunted down, and you're going to be the one that comes back to Jerusalem. He would have thought you were crazy, but that's exactly what takes place. And I believe it's during this time that we see verse 16 that we were at last week played out. Remember when Ananias was saying, God, are you sure that Saul is the one? And Jesus says he's my chosen vessel. And then there's something that almost seemed out of context at the time. But verse 16, Jesus said, "For I will show Saul, I will show him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake." I believe it was during this time when he was away, as God was pouring into the life of Saul, would become Paul. I believe he just laid it before him. This is how you're going to suffer. And boy, we know that Paul suffered. We know that he was stoned. He was beaten in Philippi. He was shipwrecked. There were so many things. Just those that he loved turned their back on him. And not to mention the guilt that he would have in his life for the fact that he had persecuted the church. All of these things, I believe God laid before him. And so Saul, this is what you're going to endure for me. And we see that Saul was faithful to the very end. Even at the very last days of his life, he was enduring affliction for Christ. It was during those days he wrote his, I think the last letter that he wrote to his son in the faith, Timothy. And in chapter 3, he writes to Timothy, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer. Will suffer persecution. He would end that letter, and this is oftentimes if I write a letter to someone, I'll put under my name this verse. All right, 2 Timothy 4, verse 5. And that's when it talks about doing the work of an evangelist. But then it says, endure afflictions. He says it again, just a few lines later, endure afflictions. And he puts it in the context of fulfilling your ministry. But what Paul ultimately had to learn, he wrote it in Romans chapter 8. When he wrote to the church at Rome, he said that I consider the present suffering that I would endure, he says it doesn't hold a candle. It can't even be compared to the future glory that comes from being in Christ, for being a follower of Jesus. See, when I'm in the Word of God, when I gather with you, I get encouragement because I look out. I look out just here, and I know some of the things you're suffering. You pastor somewhere long enough, you look out and you see in people something. Nobody around you knows the cancer that is there that we've prayed about. The issues within your family, the problems at work. No one else around you knows. So when I come and I gather corporately, I get encouragement because I see you walking with Christ. But when I'm in the Word of God, I'm reminded that, again, the suffering that I may have to endure here, it can't be compared to the glory that we're going to have when we're spending eternity with our Savior. See, when I gather, I'm reminded I'm not alone. And I have a church family that prays for me and walks with me. See, we're all, and Paul had to learn it, and we have to learn it, that in this world, as Jesus would say in John, we're going to have trouble. But we can be assured that he's overcome the world. See, it takes preparation to be men, women, boys, and girls who desire to walk with Christ. It begins with a relationship with Jesus. And we read that last week, that now Paul has a relationship with Jesus. I pray that you do. I pray that if you don't, you'll reach out to a pastor. Let us share with you what it means to be a Christ follower. But then it continues by abiding daily with God. It continues as we are in his word alone and we're in his word corporately, that we learn what it means to walk daily with Christ. Paul never turned back, and I pray that we never turn back. Paul allowed himself to be prepared to do what God called him to do. And I pray that we will see our preparation daily of being prepared to be followers of Christ. Let's pray together. Lord, we are thankful for the goodness of your word, the wholeness of your word, the beauty of it, that it challenges, that we're reminded, and that, Lord, the things that we can struggle with, well, Lord, Saul struggled with these things, but you were preparing him just as you're preparing us. So, Lord, let us come with an open heart and an open mind to you and just ask you to pour into us. Lord, give us the desire to daily just get alone with you and to pray and be strengthened by your word. Lord, let us see the task ahead. And Lord, let us be faithful to it. Lord, I thank you for this body that I gather with corporately, that I am encouraged by and, Lord, get to share with. So, Father, I pray that however you would work in a person's life today, whether it's to draw them into a church family, to draw them into a relationship with you, Lord, to show them an aspect of their life that, Lord, you desire to prepare them, but they're unwilling to yield. Lord, whatever it would be, Lord, speak as we, Lord, respond to you in Christ's name. Amen. Let's stand together.